phone there.
Good evening, everyone. And welcome to the City of Baker School Board meeting, Tuesday, June 3rd, 2025, 6 p.m., School Board Office. The quote for today is, "The only way to do great work is to love what you do. If you haven't found it yet, keep looking. Don't settle." Steve Jobs. Call to order. If there's a member of the public who would like to make a public comment regarding a particular agenda item, we ask that you request a comment card from Ms. Dito, who is seated to my right, and submit your comment to her with the agenda item noted on the comment card. Please be mindful that you are allowed 2 minutes for each comment in order to give everyone who would like to make a comment an opportunity to do so. Roll call, Ms. Perkins. Ms. Prophet?
Here.
Ms. Burgess?
Here.
Ms. Joseph?
Here.
And Ms. Butler? Here. We all have a quorum. We will proceed with tonight's agenda. We will have silent meditation by Ms. Joseph and Pledge of Allegiance with Ms. Perkins. May we stand. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, a nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome our visitors. If we have any, we welcome you to the City of Baker School Board meeting. Are there any recognitions at this time?
No.
Approval of agenda. Are there any comments from the member of the public regarding the agenda? Are there any comments from the board members? May I get a motion for the approval of the agenda?
I motion for the approval of the agenda.
May I get a second?
A second.
I have a motion by Ms. Prophet and a second by Ms. Burgess, approval of the agenda. The board will now vote. Ms. Perkins?
Yes.
Ms. Prophet?
Yes.
Ms. Joseph?
Yes.
Ms. Burgess?
Yes.
And Ms. Butler? Yes. The motion carries for the approval of the agenda. We have action items. The public may comment on any action items. It's limited to 2 minutes per individual. Do we have any? Consideration and approval of minutes from the school board meeting of May 13, 2025 and May 14, 2025. Are there any comments from members of the public regarding approval of the minutes from the school board meeting of May 13 and May 14, 2025? Are there any comments from the board members? May I get a motion for approval of the minutes from the school board meetings of May 13 and May 14, 2025?
I move for the approval of the minutes from the school board meetings of May 13th, 2025, and May 14th, 2025.
May I get a second?
Okay. Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Burgess and a second by Ms. Prophet. The board will now vote. Ms. Perkins?
Yes.
Ms. Prophet?
Yes.
Ms. Burgess?
Yes.
Ms. Joseph?
Yes.
And Ms. Butler? Yes. The motion carries. For the approval of minutes from the school board meetings of May 13, 2025 and May 14, 2025. We now have consideration and acceptance of monthly financial report, including budget to actual comparisons for the period ending April 30th, 2025. Whitney?
President, members of the board, Superintendent Stroder, and everyone in this assembly. In your package, you have your financial report summaries, including budget to actual comparisons for period ending April 30th, 2025. Total revenues year to date, $10,527,798.89. Expenditures, total instructional expenditures, $3,474,798.63. Total support services, $5,378,905.4.
Total expenditures, $8,853,704.76. Mrs. Stewart, excuse me, would you please speak into the mic?
Sorry. Can you hear me now? Okay, I'm sorry. Leaving an excess of revenues over expenditures of $1,674,084.82. We had a transfer out, which is the school food service match, $8,961, leaving a change in fund balance of $1,665,133.82. Special revenue funds. Year-to-date revenues as of period ending April 30th, 2025, for special revenue funds, $6,582,743.60. Year-to-date expenditures, $7,413,202. We have receivables as of May 28, 2025 of $533,445.51, leaving a deficiency of $297,010.81, all of which will be recovered from reimbursement requests. That concludes my financial report for period ending April 30th, 2025, including budget to actual comparisons.
Thank you, Ms. Sidney. Are there any comments from members of the public? Are there any comments from the board members?
I have a question. Did we ever get the balance on the school that we requested? I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Are there any comments from? Okay, we did the board members. May I have a motion for consideration and accepting of monthly financial report, including budget to actual comparisons for the period ending April 30th, 2025?
I move to approve the monthly financial report, including budget to actual comparisons for the period ending April 30th, 2025.
May I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Burgess and a second by Ms. Prophet. The board will now vote. Ms. Perkins?
No.
Ms. Prophet?
Yes.
Ms. Burgess?
Yes.
Ms. Joseph?
No.
And Ms. Butler? Yes. The motion carries for acceptance of the monthly financial report. Consideration and approval of City of Baker School Board financial audit for the year ending June 30th, 2024. Matthew, I don't know how you pronounce your last name. With Kohler and Slavin Company will present the audit report.
Good evening and thank you. My name is Matthew Margaglio. I'm a partner with Kohler, Slavin and Company.
We've wrapped up the June 30th, 2024 financial audit. I'm just going to very quickly go over the results of that for you all this evening. We met with management about a week ago to go over those final results. The report concludes four key elements: the independent auditor's report on the financial statements, internal controls, and federal awards, as well as the financial report. Those reports that we produce consist of and describe management's responsibilities for the financial data, internal controls, compliance with laws, and prevention of detection of fraud, and it describes our responsibilities to perform the audit, to express an opinion on the financial statements as to whether they're materially correct, as well as expressing an opinion on the compliances related to the federal programs that we tested. The results of our audit this year is we were able to issue an unmodified opinion on the financial statements, stating that they are fairly presented in accordance with GAAP. The grantors and bondholders who rely on those reports can then use those financial data to make their decisions and to see how the school board is performing. We also audited some of your federal programs. We issued an unmodified opinion or a clean opinion on the compliances with the major programs we tested. So in all material respects, the compliances that we looked at the federal government requires of you, we noted no material issues. As far as internal controls, compliances with laws and regulations, we noted a couple of things to bring to y'all's attention. One, with some of your federal grants, you were required under the Davis-Bacon provisions of federal law to monitor some of the contractors' wage reports. That monitoring was done, however, it was slightly delayed and had some issues with the controls over it. You're working with a consulting company to get all that good and true, and everything looked like it was moving in the right direction. But at the time of the audit, there were some questions as to the controls over that process. We also reviewed several timesheets, and we noted one discrepancy in one area. The timesheet was reviewed, and there was clear evidence that it was reviewed. However, it was missing a signature. That's minor in nature, but due to the testing that was performed, we had to report it, but we were able to easily determine that that timesheet was reviewed, corrected, and submitted properly. The last issues that we had are related to why we're presenting the June report today instead of closer to the January timeframe. Typically, the state statute says that your report is due 6 months after year end, which would make it December 31st, 2024. And me or my team would be here sometime in January or February to present that report. I'm here in June to go over it. We just finished up the report about a week ago and submitted it to management. So we had issues with, we had to report a compliance that you were late on the statutory deadline for the legislative auditor. The main cause, as well as we could determine for that, was the result of all of the financial reconciliations with all the money, the projects, and everything else going on. There were delays in the timing of getting that closed out and accurately to both your CPA consultant as well as us to allow us to perform the financial audit. Once we got those records and were able to get everything balanced, it allowed us to express the fair opinion, but it did delay the timing of everything. Those are the major internal control and compliance issues that we ran across during this year's audit. Just a very quick snapshot again. This is as of June 30th, 2024, so several months ago. Your general fund, which is primarily where you operate out of, took in about $2.6 million of ad valorem taxes for the year. Sales tax was $4.9, almost $5 million. Other revenue was about $700,000, and your MFP, the largest portion, was almost $6.6 million for the year end, June 30, 2024. Some of your key expenditures, regular programs, regular education, y'all spent about $3.6 million. Instructional support, instructional programs, you spent about $1.5 million. Supporting services, $2.8 million. Operations of the school system, almost $2 million. Transportation and debt service made up about another $1.5 million. Those are the key expenditures that y'all incur in operating the general fund throughout the year. That is all the information I have on the financial audit this year. I thank y'all for the opportunity to be here this evening. If there's any questions, I can attempt to answer them.
Do you you said you submitted to management, and where is that?
I'm sorry?
Once you do the report, you say you submit it to management.
Once we complete the report, we schedule a meeting with the superintendent with Sydney to go over everything in detail. That was done last week, and then we submit it to the legislative auditor for them to publish.
I have a question in reference to
What I'm here to present tonight is a financial statement audit. Yes, ma'am. We perform both engagements under the state statutes. We perform a financial statement audit as well as agreed upon procedures.
Okay, so you're saying...
Yes, ma'am. The AUP is a statutory requirement from the Legislative Auditor's Office that specifies exactly what we're required to look at based on their guidelines, and we test according to their guidelines. The financial statement audit is a broad set of rules and regulations that CPAs are required to follow that are issued by our professional organizations and are applied to the school district. So the AUP is a very specific attack, whereas the audit broadly looks at overall compliances across the whole school district. We look at things that are brought to our attention by management, review of minutes, and things of that nature. We look at the financial data to make sure it is fairly presented in accordance with GAAP. So we test certain elements of the financials. We look at things like bank reconciliations and timesheets. We look at pay stubs and invoices, requisitions, and purchase orders. No, we do not. No, we sample. We pick a month or 2 months out of the year, sometimes three or four, depending on what we're looking at and what the risk is. We'll look at just whatever the sampling guidelines, whatever the risk drives. In some instances, we will look at 100%, but it is very seldom. Most of it is done on a risk-based sampling approach.
So is the system ever audited totally?
You mean looking at every single transaction?
Everything.
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Correct. That's okay. A financial statement audit doesn't require an analysis of every transaction. It requires us to perform significant procedures to detect and prevent, to detect issues and irregularities that could occur. If we see something or it is brought to our attention, we do a deeper dive in those areas. A financial audit is that any dig into every single transaction of any entity would not only be cost prohibitive, but it would also be time constraining.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way to look at every single paycheck for the entire school district for a single year by an outside third party. There's no way for us to look at every single bank statement, every single disbursement. It's not possible for a financial statement audit. It's not expected within the scope and just the overall expectation and cost prohibitions and time of expecting a CPA firm to come in and look at that. It just is not practical.
If records were requested and something is missing, how do you get that?
If we request something and the documentation is missing, mm-hmm. we double check with management to make sure that it's not a communication issue, and then we modify our procedures appropriately, and either we'll report an exception or a finding in those instances, or we will evaluate how it impacted our sampling, our scope. Maybe we'll pick more transactions within that area and say that instead of testing 20, 30, 40, 50, we might test 100 or 200 transactions to see if it was a one-time type of deal or if it is consistent throughout, and then that will change or impact our opinion and or our findings.
So these samples are regulated and passed down from the Louisiana Legislative Auditor's Office?
In some instances, they're passed down from the Legislative Auditor's Office. In other instances, they're passed down from our professional organization,
okay.
the AICPA. They have a sampling guideline that says if the school board incurs X number of transactions,
mm-hmm.
auditors must test at minimum Y number in order to rely on that sample data mm-hmm. in the expression of their opinion.
Okay. And those testings are enough to give you an overall view of the status of this finance department, true?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Because the sampling is so randomized with it, if there is a consistent problem with something, the sampling guidelines and metrics, the statistical data says that it would show up in our sample. And once it does, it forces us to do more work.
Absolutely.
Which then allows us to project the ultimate results of whether or not we can rely on the information.
So that our assembly will know we have a clean audit. That clean audit has been submitted to the Louisiana Legislative Auditor's Office. And it shows that we are within their regulations and they're in compliance, correct?
Yes, we submitted the audit Thursday or Friday of last week.
Okay.
And so now y'all are current with that, with the exception of the findings that I had mentioned during this meeting.
Great. All righty. So everybody, you go into the community, tell everybody we have a clean audit. We're good.
They could bring the president from the state down here to explain that to these two, and they still gonna vote no. So, I mean, you could talk all night, but they still gonna try to find something. It been no for 3 years.
Well, they done voted no on this financial report. You don't know what you're talking about.
And there's nothing wrong with voting no on a financial report. But every financial report, and we first came on the board when the other superintendent, we didn't know nothing. But it was a yes vote on every meeting we had. And we was a negative $600,000. I'm done.
When you don't know what you're talking about,
you either.
Why? Because you.
Thank
you.
May we have. May we get some order, please? May I get a motion for the approval of the City of Baker School Board financial? Thank you. I'm sorry, Matthew. Thank you. Thank you. May I get a motion for approval of the City of Baker School Board financial audit for the fiscal year ending in June 30, 2025.
Before I make a motion, I just want to say thank you to the auditing firm, and thanks to our finance department, Ms. Sydney and her staff. So as I asked before, when we go into our community and we talk to people, we have a clean audit, meaning we're good. We have a really good audit. These people have worked very, very hard. So I would like to make a motion for the approval of the City of Baker's financial audit for the year ending June 30th, 2024.
May I get a second?
Second.
I have a motion for approval of the audit report by Ms. Burgess and a second by Ms. Prophet. The board will now vote. Ms. Perkins?
Before I make my vote, I'd like to say if anyone would like a copy of what the agreed upon procedure is, I did do my research and I do have a copy for anyone who would like one. And some of the information, like I said, I'm not a CPA, an auditor, or whatever, but a lot of the information that I just received does not coincide with the information that I have. My vote is no.
Ms. Prophet?
Yes.
Ms. Burgess?
Yes.
Ms. Joseph?
Before I vote, I want to say to the auditor, it's nothing against you. I've requested information from 2 months since I've been on this board, and I have yet to get it. And it's because the records are not there. So that's why I asked the question I asked. It has nothing to do with you and your business. No.
Thank you. And Ms. Butler? Yes. The motion carries for the consideration and approval of
financial audit.
For the financial audit reporting for the comparison of June 30, 2024.
Ms. Jones, may you please state for the record what records that you are requesting?
I requested the financial statements for June and July of 2018, and I have yet to get it, and I did that when I first got on the board.
Okay. We have those records. Those records are still in my
office. I didn't say you don't have it. I didn't get it.
We wasn't even on the board in 2018, so they should have taken that off.
If you don't know what you're talking about, you need to be quiet.
Was we on the board at that time?
Were you?
No.
Okay, I didn't say I was on the board. I can ask for anything that I want.
That's the problem. I guess you can.
I sure can.
Oh. May we go?
I know I didn't.
Excuse me.
I'm not reviewing when.
Whenever you feel like reviewing,
Ms.
Joseph.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Ms.
Sidney.
I didn't just ask for that tonight. I've been asked for it.
Those are the records. That
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we're going to do a state for the record. Brandon.
For clarification, the records that were just hand delivered were sent to Ms. Joseph via email indicating ability for review. They've been made available and have been sitting in either Mr. Schroeder's office or Ms. Sidney's office since shortly after she made the initial request.
About two years.
Aside from mm-hmm. that, we also told Ms. Joseph, as a board member, she doesn't have to make public records requests to see things. But if she's going to make a public records request, she is treated as a regular citizen, no different than those in the audience, and you will receive the documents according to you being a Louisiana citizen making a bona fide public records request. And that is how it will be treated. If she wants to ask for things in her capacity as a school board member, then we can work with her in a capacity as a school board member, but then she has a fiduciary responsibility of non-redisclosure, of protection of the record, such that if she rediscloses the record unintentionally or intentionally, she becomes liable, just like the school board, if something happens. So if you ask for it as a public citizen in a public records request, the record has been sanitized. It is made available for something that can be redisclosed without worry or concern to the school board. But if she wants to ask for something in her official capacity as a school board member, to which members of the public are not entitled because of the sensitivity of the record, then she's under a different requirement of protecting and preserving the document. So in this instance, we made these records available such that the district didn't have to reproduce, as you just saw, several binders, thousands of pages of records at a cost. The district doesn't have a whole lot of money to just process thousands of pages of records requests. So that's what we did. We told her she could come look at them whenever she wanted. I did not realize Ms. Joseph had never come to look at the records until this evening.
You are not telling the truth, attorney, because my attorney sent you a request. He made the request since I didn't get it, and I asked for 2 months, not thousands of pages, 2 months, June and July of 2018. That's not a rocket scientist thing that needs to be done. But let's be honest and upfront. We talk about being transparent to the public. We need to be truthful and transparent. I haven't asked for anything. I did do a public records request because when I asked for it, I didn't get it. So then I did a public records request by the Attorney General's office guidance. They told me to do that. and that you all were mandatory to, it was mandatory that you give it to me. So I came back and I did a public records request. And again, when you sent it to me, it was in deplorable condition. My attorney looked at it and he requested. So.
I will reiterate Title 42, Section 32 of the Public Records.
Yeah, that's an attorney jargon that you use. The bottom line is 2018, June and July was what I asked for.
I'm giving you the specific statute for your reference that says either we can make available at the location the records for your review without charge. If you want copies, it costs. And so we made them available for you without charge. And you as a school board member have a lot more ability of accessing this place than a regular citizen.
You did tell me that. But again, let's be truthful about the whole thing.
And we provided everything that you requested in all of your records.
Well, I have it now, so.
Okay. So now I can make the statement to where Ms. Sydney handed over the financial report stating to Ms. Joseph. What year was that? Based on her request. Ms. Joseph's request. We may move along. Consideration and approval of engagement letter with Kohler, Slavin, and Company for audit services. Are there any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from board members? May I get a motion for...
I want to make a statement.
Okay.
Because I've never heard... This was my first time hearing the AUP, the agreed upon procedure. I didn't know about that until tonight for this. So will we be getting an audit or will we be getting an agreed upon procedure when we do the
engagement letter?
Because we're getting ready to vote on something.
Mm-hmm. Right. May I answer to that?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
the
please.
Agreed upon procedures has been part of your audit for the last... Ever since you all have been on the board, it's part of the audit report.
3 years.
So it's been in existence ever since 2015, Matthew? Since 2015. Agreed upon procedures are procedures that are tested, that are regulated by the legislature. So this is partly law. So those procedures are tested as part of the audit. And you get two reports. You get an audit report, and you also get an agreed upon procedures report. If you go to the legislative auditor's website and pull down our audit report, you're going to see the audit report, and then you're also going to see a part of that, the agreed upon procedures report.
According to what he said tonight, when...
I don't know.
So if I can point everybody to Mr. Matthew's letter from Kohler, Slavin, and Company, the engagement letter dated May 28, 2025. The engagement letter outlines and specifically states everything that will be included in the scope of the audit, mm-hmm, that will be for each calendar year ending June 30th, 25, 26, 27, and 28.
28.
And so when you look at the letter, if you look at the letter that's in your board packet,
yes,
on your computers,
it's right here. Mm-hmm.
It tells you at the beginning, we will audit financial statements and the government activities, each major fund, and the aggregate remaining fund information, including the disclosures which collectively comprise the basic financial statements of the board as of and for each of the years ending June 30, 25, 26, mm-hmm, 27, and 28. They then further go through and tell you each step that they will take with respect to the audit. They also have a section in there about the auditor's responsibilities for the audit, yeah, of the financial statements, and a single audit which further details each thing. It says we will evaluate the appropriateness of accounting policies and the reasonableness of significant accounting estimates made by management. So they're telling you if even the estimates that were made by management were reasonable. And continuing from there, they will also conclude, based on the audit evidence obtained, whether or not there are conditions or events considered in the aggregate that raised substantial doubt about the government's ability to continue as an ongoing concern for a reasonable period of time. It stated otherwise, they're telling you if you're first serving your function and if you are able to pay your debts. If I misstate that, Matthew, please let me know. And then it continues and it says audit procedures. It has an internal control process. It says we will obtain an understanding of the government and its environment, including internal control relevant to the audit, sufficient to identify and assess the risk of material misstatement of the financial statements, whether due to error, right? Mm-hmm. Error would simply be the negligence of the employee, maybe recording a decimal in the wrong position, or fraud, which would be the intent to take the money from the school system and misappropriate. And to design and perform audit procedures responsive to those risks. I'm not sure what other risk you would have other than maybe cyber risk, but if you have an employee that's making errors, the audit says that they will test to make sure that the errors are found and corrected. And if you have an employee that's stealing by fraud, they're going to figure it out too. Right? Hmm. And they're going to create those procedures, and they're going to tell you about the risk inherent in those procedures. And then continuing, there's an audit procedures compliance, where they tell you about the compliance in this process. And it says the uniform guidance requires that we also plan and perform the audit to obtain reasonable assurance about whether the auditee, that would be the school board, has complied with federal statutes, regulations, and the terms and conditions of the federal awards applicable to major programs. If applicable, our procedures will consist of test of transactions, and other applicable procedures described in the OMB compliance supplement for the types of compliance requirements that would have a direct and material effect on each of the board's major programs. And then they offer other services. It says, at your request, we can assist in preparing financial statements and related notes in conformity with U.S. generally accepted accounting principles, assist in the preparation of your CEFA, SEFA, propose adjusting journal entries for use during the audit, prepare various reconciliation, maintain a depreciation schedule based on information provided by you. So there's additional services that we can dial down from them, but we already have procured a lot of those services through our external consultant that works with Ms. Sydney, and Ms. Sydney already has a full appreciation of how these things work. Then there's a responsibility of management for the financial statements in the single audit. So he's telling you what the board's responsibility is to this process. And then continuing, this is a long engagement letter, so just so we're clear, he's covering just about every element that one would expect for a third party to come in to make sure that there's no mismanagement, to make sure that there's no fraud, to make sure that there's no error. He's testing your federal programs. He's testing your state money. What else am I missing that you might not be testing, other than the toilets? Are you testing the toilets? I mean, you might be. If you buy them, guess what? He's going to test the toilets and the light switches. I mean, I'm not making this up. This is what they do. The way that they do this is they sample based on the previous noted risk of where you may have had a misstep. So if they had a misstep in the prior year and it was a result of a finding, please explain, do you not only look at the finding and whether or not you've cured the finding and you've applied the appropriate management tactic to ensure that it doesn't happen again? So they're not going to simply avoid what you may have had a finding in the prior year. They're going to go right back to it and test you to make sure that it's correct.
So the board's had this letter since last Thursday, and this is also not the first time this board's voted on this letter.
So I think the last section, and I appreciate the comment, but the last section that I want to make sure we cover is because there seems to be concern about an AUP. Agreed upon procedures. This is statewide AUP. And this is on, I don't even know what page of the audit.
It was almost at the end.
But it's towards the end. It's a bold and italicized. You will agree to the procedures listed in the attached schedule, which is in addition to everything that I read, plus the stuff that I didn't cover. The attached schedule, and will acknowledge that the procedures to be performed are appropriate for the intended purpose of this engagement, which is to perform special procedures on the control and compliance areas identified by the Louisiana Legislative Audit. So keep in mind that what he is doing is an audit generally done under procedures by his profession, and he's also doing an AUP based on the legislative auditor's requirements for testing government accountability. So you're getting two things out of his engagement, not just the professional services done by a CPA firm, but also the requirement adopted by the Louisiana legislature, which is embedded by the Louisiana legislative auditor for compliance and submission to his office to verify that you are operating appropriately. And those standards are further outlined on the attachment. I think we probably got a good idea of how extensive in scope the engagement is. I would invite Mr. Matthew up if y'all have any additional questions about the summary that I tried to provide without overstating or misstating what he's doing.
I'm going to say it again. When I don't know something, I ask a question, and I've made the statement up front. I had never heard of the AUP until tonight when it was stated. Every time I ask a question, we say, oh, be transparent. Let's let everybody know what we are doing. But the minute I ask a question, for clarity, it's blown out of proportion. And since our team called names, let me say, it's just like the time when I asked the question about something else. Everything y'all asked for is on the internet.
I didn't say the internet.
You said the internet, and they corrected you and said the website.
That's what I was talking about, the website.
You was talking about the website when
right,
you said internet.
I might have said that. Everybody do make mistakes.
Well, you've making
them. And if y'all would listen sometime and quit trying to just judge every time somebody says something.
Now you read mine.
Okay, let me bring a little clarity to statewide agreed upon procedures. This is the legislative auditor's guide. This was provided to you all in your opinion, and this is a very comprehensive set of instructions of what is being reviewed, how it's being reviewed, and what is being checked. And if you have any additional questions, you may contact the legislative auditor's office. You can contact Mr. Mark Aguilo or State Department or State Legislature.
Thank you, Ms. Sidney.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Sidney.
Thank you.
And I would like to restate that the both audit, which includes the agreed upon procedures, has been voted on by this board for the last 3 years.
I think what our attorney has said makes a whole lot of sense. As board members, we all have a fiduciary responsibility to this district. Rather you vote yes or rather you vote no, you still have a fiduciary responsibility to this district. And the auditor that we are about to bring a motion to, they have a fiduciary responsibility to themselves as well as to the Louisiana Legislative Auditor's Office. And so if you're ready for the motion.
Yes, I am.
I would like to make a motion to approve the engagement letter with Calder, Slavin, and Company for audit services. They've been doing an amazing job over the last years. That's my motion.
May I get a second?
Yes, I second.
I have a motion by Ms. Burgess and a second by Ms. Prophet. The board will now vote. Ms. Perkins?
No.
Ms. Prophet? Ms. Burgess?
Yes.
Ms. Joseph?
No.
And Ms. Butler? Yes. The motion carries. For consideration and approval of engagement letter with Kohler, Slade, and Company for audit services. Consideration and appointment to the Baker Main Street Economic Development District Board of Commissioners. We have three candidates for this position. Are all three here? Two? Okay. Can you come up, Ms. Myra and Ms. Okay, I was looking at his name. I'm sorry. Ms. Retha Wright. I'm sorry, baby. You could come up as well. State your name and
Good evening, everyone. All right, so I am Myra Harris. Some of you may know me from different capacities throughout the community. Most currently, I am the PTO president at Baker High School, but more on just a humane side of things. So I am a homeowner here in the city of Baker, have been for a very long time. I'm also a mother of four amazing children. I am a wife, all of the things, a business owner. I am a former educator. I was in education for about 14 years. I have worked in elementary from K to 12. I was a teacher advisor on the teacher advisory council, mentor teacher, all of these things. I have an educational specialist degree, which is like a doctoral level in instruction and curriculum. And that's relevant because I tell people all the time, with what I do, education and community all aligns together, you know. And so when I tell people at one point I did education for a very long time. Then I had gotten my master's in public administration. Thought I was going to go off to do nonprofit work. I had organizations. I had Girls of Essence here in the city of Baker, which was a program that targeted adolescent young ladies to help build on character, leadership, all of the things. And I thought that was it. I got back into education a little bit and just continued to maneuver the two. And one thing I realized is that regardless of whatever capacity that I worked in, it all began really with purpose work. And so I feel like that's really what brings me here today is work in alignment with my purpose, regardless if it's with the it's a commissioner's, you know, position, or rather it's what I will continue to do. You will continue to see me. You will continue to understand and know what it is that I do in this work, because it all roots in moving children forward and making sure that we are advocating for what they need. Also, on the flip side of things, understanding the business side of things. And as an entrepreneur, a part of what I do in my business and service is service those who are looking to build, start, and grow compliant businesses. So rather that's tax compliance on the financial side of things, on the backside, or just making sure that they are consistent with state, federal regulations, all of that. And all composed together, it all works. And as when I started joining with the PTO, I realized even more the importance of relationship, the importance of community. And when I say relationship, I don't mean just parents or just, which that is very important, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, but also our businesses. Our community is very, very important. I'll say this, if you look around with our local communities, one thing we notice is that our communities and our schools are a reflection of each other. You know, if any community, if you see challenges in the school system, usually there are challenges in our communities. If you see they're thriving in the school system, they're thriving in the community. And so that shows the importance of making sure that we are looking and we're making ourselves available to build relationships with our local businesses, that we're bringing in quality businesses, that we're looking for resources, that we're advocating any gaps that are there. And so when I say community work, this is exactly what we're looking for. So when I tell you the only thing this will do is continue to put me in the space to continue to advocate, to continue to grow, ultimately to help build for our children. You know, and I'm rooted here in Baker. And like I said, you'll see me because I am a Baker alumni, by the way, class of 2005. So I love my Baker Community School District. It's where I'm from, not just, again, as a homeowner or where my children are, but it's where I've grown. And so I know that we have had our challenges as a community. We've had our challenges as a school system, but we had that. But what are we going to do to be solution-oriented? What are we going to do to bring about results? And so for me, it's always about putting the fire behind what's stagnant. You know, things that have been sitting, things that have been complacent, things that have been, you know, what are we going to do to bring fire to that, to bring it alive, to be a voice for our district, to be a voice for our students, to be a voice for our parents, and making sure that we're continuing to bridge those gaps and grow. Okay, so other than that, I look forward to the possibility of continuing to work with our school board, representing our school district, and growing in whatever capacity is needed. You're welcome. One. Myra Harris. Awesome.
Thank you. Ms. Rita Wright.
Good afternoon. Good evening.
Well, again, my name is Retha Wright, and I'm not new to Baker or the school district. I've been a resident of Baker for over 30 years. I was PTO president of Baker Heights, Baker Middle, and Park Ridge. So I've been in the school system for quite some time. And I know that gazing the room here, I probably have been to more school board meetings than anybody in here except Ms. Debbie and Ms. Dito. So everybody else, I've been doing this for almost since the school district came into an exception, way when they were back there behind the bank building over there. So those who know me know that I'm very passionate about what happened to our children in the school district. I have their best interests at all times. I will go to bat for them at any time. I have even been to state meetings to try to deter some of the things that have happened in here with our school district and bringing charter schools into the system. I've been very active in that and engaging with those state-level authorities. So I come with, again, over 30 years of government experience. I worked for Division of Administration for over 30 years. And with that, there's a lot of policy procedures that you have to understand. So they ingrain that in you with the Division of Administration. So I have worked over 30 years with them. So I have no minor things. Now, when it comes to the economic development of this city, there are a lot of things that bothers me, that we are not growing in the type of businesses that we do, and that is why my desire is to be a part of this economic development board, because what this project entails, it entails the corridor of Highway 19 from Groom Road, Leyva and South Magnolia to the northern part of the end of Baker. So if you can picture what that looks like, if you look at some of the signage is old and need to be replaced, you look at the amount of businesses that need a facelift, that what this project does. It takes the funding and build that street up and make it look like it's has some economic boost to it. So And I understand and have engaged, because I did work for the city. I understand the property values. I understand how to pull that data already to get us prepared to move forward. It's not that you got to restructure and get somebody new. I had this experience already. So in your consideration, I'm hoping that you consider my longevity in the city, my passion, and what I bring to the table for the city and the school district. And also wanted to note, because most people didn't know that I did a little grant, and it was a community collaborative grant with LSU. It had about 20 people in the class. I was one of the four that was awarded a grant, and I took that grant and used it at Baker High School. It could have been used anywhere in the parish. And I brought that home to Baker High School. So in your consideration, I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Wright. Thank you, Ms. Harris. Ms. Prophet, would you like to make a nomination?
Yes. I would like to nominate Myra Harris.
A second.
I'd like to nominate Retha Wright.
Okay. Excuse me. Is there any comments from the members of the public? Well, we'll make the vote after I ask the public if they have anything to say. Okay, and we did get a nomination from Ms. Prophet and a second from Ms. Burgess for Ms. Harris. We also received a nomination for Ms. Wright and a second from Ms. Perkins. How are we going to do this? We vote.
You'll just vote. The two candidates, so okay. You'll have candidate A, which is Myra Harris, and candidate okay. B, which is Retha Wright.
Okay.
And so when you do a roll call, the person will need to state the name of the individual that they're voting for.
Okay.
So it won't be a simple yes or no. You'll need to state the candidate's name that you're voting for.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Perkins?
Who are we voting
for? Who are you going to vote for? Ms. Wright? Ms. Prophet?
Myra Harris?
Ms. Joseph?
I want to make a statement first.
Okay.
It's unfortunate we can't take both of them and put them on the board, but I'm voting for Retha Wright.
Thank you. Ms. Burgess?
Ms. Myra Harris.
Ooh, I hate this. Can we just pull a number?
No.
Unfortunately, you as the president pulled the tie.
I know, right? And I'm sure both will make good candidates. Well, a good person on a seat, board of commissioner. I'm going to go ahead and make my vote. Ms. Harris.
Ms. Harris has 3 votes. Ms. Wright has 2 votes. The successful candidate is Ms. Myra Harris.
I want to say that I know Ms. Wright. I think God have another purpose for you, though, for the city of Baker. I really do. It's not up yet, believe me, because you are the face of Baker. Yes, you are. Now we have, since we have Ms. Harris, okay, we have consideration and acceptance of a lease agreement with Board of Education Explosion, Inc., DBA Impact Charter School for the facility.
Yes, so Impact is basically asking us if we'd be willing to extend their lease for another year. So that's what this lease agreement is. We just basically just changed the dates.
Okay. Are there any comments from members of the public upon this lease? Are there any comments from the board members?
I think check the dates on that commercial lease agreement, because it has leases 11 months, commencing August 1st, 2025, and expiring on June the 30th, 2025.
It should be 2026.
2026,
that's what I'm saying.
I'll fix that. I'll fix that with that note.
And we had a discussion about the amount, so it's going to remain at 20.
The amount stays the same.
So basically, the lease includes the monthly lease cost and grounds and all that separate. All that separate from the lease amount.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. And any kind of repairs.
Yes, unless it's like a capital improvement repair.
Okay.
And then it would be us.
All righty.
Okay. May I get a motion for acceptance of a lease agreement with the Board of Education Explosion, Inc., DBA Impact Charter School for the facility located at 3750 Harding Street for the 2025-2026 school year.
I move to accept a lease agreement with the Board of Education Explosion Incorporated, doing business as Impact Charter School, for the facility located at 3750 Harding Street for the 2025-2026 school year.
May I get a second?
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Burgess and a second by Ms. Proffitt for the lease agreement with the Board of Education Explosion, Inc., DBA, Impact Charter School for the facility located at 3750 Harding Street for the 2025-2026 school year. May I get a vote? Ms. Perkins?
Yes.
Ms. Proffitt?
Yes.
Ms. Burgess?
Yes.
Ms. Joseph?
Yes.
And Ms. Butler? Yes. The motion carries. Do the superintendent have a report on personnel?
No personnel to report.
I have a question.
Yes.
No changes. No personnel changes.
I have announcements. The next meeting will be July 1st, 2025. I have a notice is hereby given pursuant to Article 7, Section 23C of the Louisiana Constitution and Revised Statute 47-1705B that a public hearing of the City of Baker School District in the East Baton Rouge Parish will be held at its regular meeting place in the boardroom of the City of Baker School Board Office located at 14750 Plank Road, Baker, Louisiana, on Tuesday, July 1st, 2025, at 6 p.m., to consider levying additional or increased millage rates without further voter approval or adopting the adjusted millage rates after reassessment and rolling forward to rates not to exceed the prior year's maximum. The estimated amount of tax revenues be collected in the next year from the increased millage of $2,623,169.75 and the amount of increase in taxes attributable to the millage increase is $275,920.30. Do you have anything else to say, Mr. Stroder?
That's all for me.
You right now have a motion to adjourn. May I have a motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn.
May I get a second?
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Proffitt and a second by Ms. Perkins to adjourn. The board will now vote. Ms. Perkins?
Yes.
Ms. Proffitt?
Yes.
Ms. Burgess?
Yes.
Ms. Joseph?
Yes.
Ms. Butler? Yes. The meeting is adjourned.
But it went on record though with me giving it to you, so
okay, go ahead.